There are a number of common root causes and a lot of similarities in entrepreneurs' childhoods that created almost like this void in this need to keep succeeding and striving and proving themselves.
83% of Americans identify as not very happy, which can hold you back and negatively affect your relationships and your business. On this podcast, we discuss the proven steps to happiness so you can restore balance and rekindle your joy.
Welcome to another episode of How to Be Happier for Entrepreneurs. Today, we have Aaron File. Aaron, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
So we're going to talk about something today that's super cool. We're going to talk about a lot of psychology, but we're also going to talk about subtraction, which you don't often hear. A lot of times in today's age, we just want to pile more, 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 do more, more. So as we always do, we're going to jump right in with a hard-hitting question. Aaron, tell us, how is it that you help your clients literally transform and change their lives through subtraction?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's so common for us as high achievers and entrepreneurs, when something's not working, to want to do more. Well, if I just work more, or if I just meditate more, or I'll read a few more books, or I'll do a bit more gratitude, and I'll just do more changing my thinking, I'll just do more, more, more. It's our tendency. What we find, though, is that true transformation and positive change can happen when there's a focus on less, when there's a focus on subtraction. And it really is the difference of if you have a bunch of splinters that you've accumulated in your arm, the difference of addition being let's put bandages and ointment on it, and subtraction being like let's stop, let's pause, let's find where things are hurting, and let's pull the splinters out. And that's where change can happen so quickly. As you know, if you pull a splinter out, a couple of days later, you're not thinking about it anymore. It's not something you have to keep working at and trying hard to deal with. The issue is really gone when you're subtracting the cause, you're subtracting the reasons for your challenges.
So do more to get less. I get that. Let's dive deeper. You gave the 30,000 foot view. Let's go down now. What does that look like? Someone comes to you with anxiety. How does using subtraction help them with their anxiety?
Yeah, absolutely. This is near and dear to my heart. I've had a lot of friends who have struggled with this, and I have as well in the past. And the concept of addition, let's do more meditation and let's do more journaling, just never really worked. And what we found is you could have 10 people who had, say, anxiety, waking up every morning with anxiety. And approaches would be hit or miss. And that's because the root causes, the reason for that anxiety could be different for each of those 10 people. So when we work with someone comes in with anxiety, what we do is we spend a bit of time exploring what could be the root causes. And what we find is there are a number. What we'll often find is there can be stuck emotions in the body. There can be what we call memory capsules or old memories that still have activation. It could be a business partner robbing you of your money, or it could go all the way back to being embarrassed in front of kids in a school play. There can be old things from the past that are still creating loops of anxiety down the road.
Right.
There can be problematic, repeated patterns, ways of thinking that have become beliefs, that have become like, I'm not good enough. I'm never going to succeed. There's no way that I'm going to be able to make it. So we can have thoughts that have become beliefs and locked into the programming of how we work. And then sometimes there can be identities. So perhaps the identity of someone who has to struggle in order to succeed, or the identity of someone who can never give up even when things get tough. So identities, memories, beliefs, thought patterns are some of the core things that we'll find we subtract and pull out of the way that would allow people to experience relief from anxiety.
I love that. That's really interesting. And the one word that rings over all of those is the root cause, right? When you want to change a mental state, or you want to change physical pain, it's the same thing, right? There's only one way to fix it. You got to get to the root. Like, what is causing this? And so many times in Western medicine, the root cause is danced around and the focus is on symptoms. So love it. Tell us more about how do you go about. So if it's the kid who was teased in class and they have anxiety about now speaking in public, how do you go back and subtract that from their mind?
Great question. So one of the truths, one of my beliefs, is that there is no one method that works for everyone. And so what we do, what we've done at the MindFix group, is we have combined about 8 or 9 different methodologies. And so we have a blend. So when someone works with us, they actually work with a small team of facilitators, of coaches that work with them in different ways. So we may have one coach that comes in and helps the client connect to where that memory, the emotional charge, is stored in their body, how it may be stored as a sensation or a sense in their body and may release it that way. We may then have another coach that comes in and helps them find the memory, the visual memory of what it looked like. And they experience the thoughts and the feelings that went along with it. And we have a couple different methods that allow that to be dissolved. And then perhaps from that memory of being embarrassed, maybe that client may have developed beliefs about themselves. So we may have a third coach come in and work specifically through those beliefs that were generated from that event.
Is that typical in the therapy world? Do most people, when they sign up for therapy work, get a team of people that they work with?
I don't know a lot about the therapy world anymore. I went to therapy for 30 years and did not experience much success.
Okay. 30 years on and off.
I never had a team. I always had one person, and I would be told, try this out for 6 months and we'll see if it works. And it never really did. I never experienced significant positive change or relief. And I was experiencing the same problems in my mid-30s that I was as a preteen and an early teenager, despite going back to therapy over and over and over. So oftentimes people come to us when therapy hasn't worked and they're looking for something very different.
Why didn't therapy work for you and me and so many people?
Yeah. My belief, from my personal experience, what I've seen and what I've seen with clients, is that oftentimes traditional therapy, traditional talk therapy, can have people stay here. You and I are talking, we're talking from our conscious mind. We are in analytical, logical conversations, and we are going to have a conversation. We're going to think about where this could have come from, and we're going to talk about the problem. And we're just going to sit here and we're just going to talk. The problems, the root causes of these challenges and the reason why we're stuck, they're in our subconscious mind. They're in our body. They are dealt with in our emotions. I probably went through 30 years and had a conversation that looked like an analytical, like an analysis. I never really got into releasing stuck emotions or feeling where things were stored in my body or connecting to the emotions or taking care of any of the other aspects. It was just this like robot analyzing and talking. And we don't heal how we feel by just talking it through. Otherwise, a lot more people would be feeling better.
So what do you call yourself in your organization? If you say you're not coming for therapy, what are people coming for?
The closest word we've found is coaching. We are in a blue ocean where we are not coaches, where we show up and tell you what to do or give you advice or give you a game plan or tell you how to get to the end line. We are not therapists. We're just simply not. We're a bit more like guides. So we call ourselves coaches, but we're like guides. We take people's hands and we walk alongside them and we create invitations for them to try different ways of thinking and feeling that allow them to actually move through and process the challenges and the inner limitations that they're experiencing.
I love it. So tell us more. It's called the MindFix Group. What is the MindFix Group and why would someone want or need to come there?
Well, we work with two kinds of people typically. So our clients are almost always entrepreneurs, high achievers, leaders, CEOs, founders. They are people who want results. They are people who want results quickly. And that subset of the population, in all honesty, is wired differently, literally down to a genetic level. And so the personality characteristics and traits and motivators and things that drive this driven subset of the population, oftentimes what works for the rest of the population doesn't necessarily work for them. So this subset of the population, the driven, the entrepreneurs, they often run into a unique set of challenges. So by the time someone comes to us, they usually fall into one of two buckets. They're either experiencing friction or resistance or frustration or limitations in some area or area of their lives, whether that's in their personal relationships or themselves as a leader or the thoughts and the emotions that they're dealing with as they go throughout their workday, right? Or they have experienced tremendous success and they're successful on the outside, but there's something missing. They're like, I thought it would be better. I thought I would feel fulfilled and successful and peaceful and happy and love. And I've exited twice. And why do I feel empty? Or what's next? What's possible? I want to feel more. So usually people fall into one of those two buckets by the time they come to us.
And you've talked a little bit, but your team of people who help them make these transformations, does it take years, months? How long does the process take?
Yeah, great question. Of course, it depends on what someone wants to work on. We've had people who have come in for spot treatments who want to get over a deep fear so that they can start doing presentations or raise their pricing. And then we've had people who have come in and they're like, here's the list. I want to improve the relationship with my wife. I want to be able to talk to my kids again. I want to get over my anger outbursts. And you know, and they do. So while we have had some people who will work with us for say 3 months and they come in and they kind of spot treatment up and they enhance or improve or experience relief in some area of their life, the majority of our clients work with us for 12 to 18 months and they go on these beautiful arcs, these journeys where we first reconnect them to themselves because most entrepreneurs are disconnected from themselves. In order to be successful, we have to get through the day. And we have to get all of these things done. And we don't have time to notice that we're hungry again or that we're feeling anger at what that guy did in the parking lot and really get to think about that or worry because our sick mother might not be doing well. That has to get pushed down. And we've got some back pain, but oh my God, I've got to go and do a presentation. So that gets pushed down. So many entrepreneurs have to disconnect from themselves in order to experience success. So it's a double-edged sword. So when someone works with us on that 12 to 18 month journey, there's a period of reconnection back to one's thoughts, back to one's emotions, back to how one feels in their body. And once one's connected, they're aware of the things that are actually going on, what they're actually feeling, what they're actually thinking. And once they're connected, then we can focus on subtraction. Then we can clear out the root causes and the things that are creating resistance and friction and the blind spots and the hidden black boxes that we haven't wanted to see or feel or experience. And once the subtraction is complete, then we can focus on creation. What is it we want to grow in this fresh new garden? Like, what do we want to create? And what is the reality creation aspect of it? So it's connection and then subtraction and then creation or addition.
You may have just mentioned this, Aaron, but why and how are these entrepreneurs and high achievers wired differently?
I have just been learning the actual genetic components of this. And so if I start talking about things at the genetic level, I'm not educated enough to do that. But there's a book by Doug Brackman that was released not that long ago. It's called Driven. And it literally talks about how entrepreneurs are a certain percentage and subset of the population. And it talks about these genetic variations. And it talks about the very unique set of characteristics that oftentimes will present as ADD or present as impatience or present as this just need to keep moving forward and have momentum like a shark, the experience of just like dwindling and suffocating when there's no movement forward. And so he talks about all of these traits and characteristics, and he talks about the genetics of it and how we're wired. And so that's actually what I've been studying and learning lately and what I would point people back to if they're curious about that.
So I had a lot of those. I had the ADD. I had the more. I had the driven part. And for me, as I've done the work over the last 3 years and look back at my life, and all of my experiences, I know that it was a lot of, I didn't feel worthy. And I felt that more, if I could just keep doing more, I would prove my worth and I would find that happiness. Am I the anomaly or do you see that in your practice a lot where people are, they have something to prove?
Oh, it's extremely common. But you know how earlier I said we could have 10 people who all presented with anxiety, but they'd have different root causes? In the driven world, like why does someone drive themselves relentlessly and keep moving forward? One of the common root causes is definitely like lack of worth. Like I need to show that I'm worthy or that I'm valuable. For other people, myself, the flavoring was more of a good enough. Like, I'm just not good enough as a human. Like, it's almost like if you dig a hole in the sand at the beach and the water comes in and fills it up and then it just gets drained. And it's like this hole that just can't ever be filled of like not good enough or not worthy enough. But you are correct that there are number of common root causes and a lot of similarities in entrepreneurs' childhoods that created almost like this void in this need to keep succeeding and striving and proving themselves.
I have a friend, Annie, that talks about how she believes entrepreneurs often become entrepreneurs because they perceive that they can control their environment because as children, they lack control. Do you see that as well?
Sometimes, yeah, absolutely. It's not like 100% or 90, but it is very common. Absolutely.
So why do you think like you and I spent combined, you know, 6 decades in therapy and I went to probably 50 different marriage counseling sessions and I'm getting ready to shoot at one of my social media videos here in a couple of minutes on why marriage therapy doesn't work. Why do you think that more traditional therapists don't go to the root cause?
Oh, my personal opinion, it's super easy. So I got my bachelor's in psychology in the 90s and there are just a lot of outdated trainings out there. When we tried to take this work to some universities to have studies done, the resistance that we experienced, like, oh, this is not cognitive behavioral therapy. This is not the traditional therapy. We're not interested. You aren't licensed clinical. We're not interested. There's a lot of resistance. And so just like how when the internet showed up, so much change happened so quickly. I would say when I started the company about 6 years ago, there were very few people doing this type of work and it has exploded. The number of new modalities, new breakthrough techniques, new tools and methods that have been coming out in the past half decade or so, it's incredible. And I really feel like there has been this lift like this with the changes that have been happening. And so what we're seeing is there's old school techniques as well as new modalities. And people are starting to see like, whoa, these new techniques are getting rid of imposter syndrome in 3 hours after the person had been working on them for 3 decades. Or someone's deep self-hatred has gone in a month after they had been working on it, again, for decades. And so I think therapists are starting to open up to new possibilities. I just think that for a while, especially pre-internet and in the 90s, when there was this explosion of, you know what, maybe it's just everybody's serotonin deficient. Let's, a big pharma came along and they're like, let's get everybody on Prozac. That kind of slowed things. Things were just slower for a bit and things are changing so much now.
So Aaron, that was me. 3 hours in a bedroom in Park City, Utah, an Airbnb bedroom, my life forever changed. And I don't know how many hundreds of hours I'd gone to. And now my clients in 3 to 5 hours of work sees these major, major shifts. So yeah, it's quite amazing. In the last 3 months, I've started to study coherence therapy. I don't know if you're familiar with that or not, but it's Bruce Ecker kind of put that together. And it's basically, it's a long explanation, but the short explanation is that it was just in the last 20 years that they understood that you could change that implicit memory, that root cause. Because from Freud up until like 100 years after Freud, they believed that those implicit memories were stuck in you forever. And so I've been trying to piece this together. Like, why do more therapists not do what you and I do, where there can be rapid change? And I think, well, if the average therapist is age, let's just say 45, I don't know what it is, 45 or 50. Well, when they went through school, they were taught something completely different. And if they haven't kept up and gone back to school, then it's not even their fault. Like, they don't even know. They're trying to do surgery with a scalpel that was made 40 years ago.
Exactly. And I don't think these new tools and techniques are necessarily even being taught in the educational institutions. This is being done like at the forefront of entrepreneurs and coaches who are taking matters into their own hands and iterating and developing new techniques. It's not something where the educational institutions are coming up with new theories and working ways or methods in the world of psychology.
If you're not watching on video, my jaw has been dropped while you were saying that for the last 30 seconds, because here's why, Aaron, I never even considered that. My brain, as we often do, assumes that if it came out 20 years ago, they started to teach it. But oh my gosh, what you just said, like drop the mic. just because they came out with it 20 years doesn't mean that the educational institutions aren't lagging behind. So they're not even teaching this stuff now. And oh my Lord, we've got 70% of Americans on a prescription drug and 60% on two. We've got 33% of Americans on an anti-anxiety or anti-depression drug because they're not given these opportunities to go back to the root cause and heal these things. Oh my Lord. Wow, is that powerful? Wow. So if you're listening to this and you're like, huh, I wonder if I have some of these issues, because if I'd have listened to this podcast 5 years ago, I'd been like, no, I'm good. Like my marriages, it was their fault. And yeah, I smoke some weed and drink here and there, but that's just normal, right? If you're curious, go and spend 3 minutes of your life taking this 12-question quiz, self-love quiz at bradchandler.com/quiz. And if you come up with lack of self-love or mild self-love, there's a good indication that you have some of these root cause issues that we're talking about that are negatively affecting every area of your life. And when you work with someone like Erin or myself and you get these, as she said, unstuck, oh my gosh, like your world will forever change. So Erin, how did you get to do this work?
I didn't plan it. As much of a planner as I am, I actually ran a consulting agency for about 17 years. And in the last probably 5 years, I knew I wanted to do something different, but I didn't know what it was. Couldn't figure it out. Long, very long story short, one day I ended up waking up with chronic pain. I was miserable at work. I was miserable, like physically. I started to go see more therapists. Nothing was working. Like nothing was changing. Nothing was shifting. I was going, well, I got to bump it up to 3 times a week and still nothing was changing. Wow. And I thought, you know what? I'm not that unusual. Like, I'm sure there's something. And so I put my entrepreneurial mind to my own problem and said, you know, I'll figure this out. And so I became my own science experiment and tried, I don't know, 30, 40 different modalities and methods and started to build a picture of, you know what? This works over here. But if I had done this first, it would have worked better. And these two pieces really shouldn't be done simultaneously. I'm not really one to build something from scratch, but I'm really great at being able to take many pieces and piece something together. And so that's what I did over the years and came up with sequencing combination of methods and enhancing those methods that seem to work far better than any one thing by itself.
Wow. So you've helped hundreds of people, thousands of people now over
thousands. Years?
Thousands. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. So as we're wrapping up, I know you've got lots of success stories, but can you give one that kind of like stands above all the rest?
Yeah. So back in the first year when I was still doing the coaching versus my team, there was a fellow that I worked with. He was up in Canada. And I remember him because he first presented and came to us as this just incredibly successful entrepreneur. He worked with Fortune 500 and 100 companies, and he had to move forward and reach out to some very high up people in these companies in order to finish up some business and be able to exit. And so I was just in awe of this human and all he had accomplished in his life, and like in his business and for the community. And he was this upstanding citizen and family member. It was just this incredible person. But he showed up with this debilitating fear related to sales. And he's just getting on the phone and speaking to people that he didn't know. And so seeing this incredibly powerful person, but then he showed me and was vulnerable and showed me behind the scenes what he was dealing with. And it was crippling. And so he shared with me, he'd show up and he'd sit down and he'd set goals for the day and he would be in an absolute complete freeze state. And he couldn't pick up the phone. And he had taken sales courses. He had had coaches. He had done phobia work with a therapist. This guy had more money than he knew what to do with. He had tried everything in the book. And just to see this powerful man, and he's like, I sat at my phone for 3 hours this morning. And he's like, I told myself I would do it. I told myself I would do it. And I didn't. And so then he had layers of frustration and then guilt and then shame on top of his freeze, right? And he's like, I just need to pick up the phone. What's wrong with me? And so I just remember it illustrating that we see people and everyone has their own challenges, right? Everybody has their own areas where there's stuck or friction or resistance. And we worked together. I think we worked weekly for a couple months. This was his one thing that he wanted to work on, just one thing. And it took us a couple months. And by the end, I remember picking up the phone and doing a session, or thinking I was going to do a session with him. And he's like, it's just not there. It's not there anymore. I made 8 phone calls this morning. I laughed. There's no resistance. There's no friction. It's easy. Like, we did it. This is a wild success. And just the flow and the energy in his body and the ease that he had when he had previously had this area of his life that he said, I cannot change this. I have not been able to change this. I have tried everything. There's something wrong with me. I keep working harder and harder and harder. I'm doing all the things. I've done the training. What's going on? And all we did is we went in and we subtracted some identities. We subtracted some beliefs. We subtracted a few memories that he had and a few ways of thinking. We cleared that out and it just created the space for him to experience the exact positive change that he wanted.
That's amazing. You went to the root cause, as you said, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can't tell you how many clients I've had that said, I read every Tony Robbins book and went to every single seminar. And they're like, I knew exactly what I should have done, just like your client that you just mentioned, but I couldn't do it. And why couldn't they do it? Because of those root cause beliefs that are hanging on. So if you're listening to this and you're struggling and you've tried all that stuff too, it's really not your fault. It's just your brain trying to protect you from pain that it perceives as worse than the negative effects of whatever you're dealing with today. So speaking of pain, Erin, you mentioned you had chronic pain. Do you still have chronic pain? No. Where did it go? Yeah.
Well, I don't know, but it's not here.
What do you think caused it?
Well, I went to, this is a bit of a hyperbole, but it felt like I went to every doctor in Colorado. I started with my PT and my massage therapist, and then they're like, go see the acupuncturist and actually go see the Rolfer and then go see this person and the osteopath. And well, maybe you should see the surgeon. I mean, I saw people, I would drive 2 hours one way and my days were just going to doctors, and I ended up seeing a brain surgeon. One day they're like, you need to go see a physiatrist. And I didn't know what half of these doctors were. And I remember shaking in the brain surgeon's office going like, what are they going to find? And he's like, I think this is just all in your head. Maybe you just should stop riding bikes. Maybe you should go take a break. And he just kind of dismissed me. And I remember thinking like, I don't know what's wrong with me and nobody can figure it out. There's something really scary. And so I really expended all of the physical root cause direction. Nobody could find a single thing after all the x-rays and the MRIs. And so that's when I started to work on my inner work and my inner world and work on the resistance that I was feeling and the frustrations and the thought patterns and the beliefs and the identities. And that's when I cleared those things out. It was not a magic bullet. It was not instant. It wasn't like I woke up one day and it was gone. But as I did the work, I'd say over the course of say 3 to 4 months, I noticed a continual gradual decline until it wasn't there anymore.
Fascinating. 5 years ago, if I heard you said that, I'd been like, she's crazy. No chance that her beliefs could have caused her physical pain or mental illness, or excuse me, not mental illness, physical illness. And now, after reading the Dr. Gabor's Myth of Normal and The Way of Miracles by Mark Minkola, those books are all about how this unprocessed stress and these root causes we've been talking about the last 30 minutes lead to chronic pain and chronic illness. So if you're in Erin's shoes, where you have this chronic pain and you're going to all these doctors and they can't figure it out, they love to say idiopathic, which means no known cause, or autoimmune. Those usually can be traced back to these root cause issues. So as we wrap up, what advice would you give to someone who may be in our shoes, our old shoes, where they've been going to therapy for 3 decades and not seeing any results?
Consider, I guess there's an invitation to try something different. If there's an openness, try a different path outside of traditional therapy or traditional life coaching, because there are so many new methods and tools, like I said, in the past few years that are revolutionary and that can help people get to the heart of their challenges so quickly.
And Erin, if people want to find out more about you or work with you, what's the best place?
Find me on Facebook. I'm the only Erin File there, and I talk about our clients and our work there regularly, or just go to mindfixgroup.com.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Erin, for being on the show. That was as amazing, or probably even better than I thought it was going to be. You do amazing work.
Thank you for having me.
So that concludes another episode of How to Be Happier for Entrepreneurs. As you probably know by now, I'm on a mission to help a million people, so I need your help. So if you like this show, please rate it, please review it, please share it, do whatever you can to help us help people that are suffering and don't deserve it. Everyone deserves a life of freedom and happiness and deep connection. So anything you can do to help me on my journey, that would be awesome. And as we conclude, remember, love heals all.
Hit subscribe if you don't want to miss out on more life-changing content. And if you're struggling, you don't have to. Go to bradchandler.com/contact. There, you can join the Facebook community of like-minded entrepreneurs, and you'll see a button to schedule your freedom and happiness call. See you on the next episode.